This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
First Nations children and children from families receiving government subsidies had more return visits to emergency departments for mental health crises than other socioeconomic groups. Recent research has revealed that more First Nations children presented to emergency departments for disorders secondary to substance abuse and intentional self-harm than other children, and that compared with other children. First Nations children returned more quickly to the emergency department and had a longer time before visiting a physician in the post-crisis period. Emergency departments are often the first access point for children with mental health issues who have not received care previously or are in crisis. Although some U.S. research has shown a relationship between race, ethnic background, and socioeconomic status in more emergency department visits, there has been little Canadian information on the topic. We're joined on the phone by Patrick McGrath, a professor of psychology, pediatrics, and psychiatry, who is one of the researchers involved in the study.
Welcome to People First Radio, Patrick.
Thank you. It's an honor to be on.
Patrick, why did the research team undertake this particular study?
Well, we really wanted to understand better why children, and what factors in children's background might differentiate people who went to the ER for mental health emergencies. We felt that poor children and First Nations children were overrepresented, but that was just a hunch. And so we undertook the study to find out if that was true. And that's an important issue because it's a marker. Attendance at the at emergency rooms for care in mental health is a marker for not getting the care early enough. And so that's what we're interested in.
How was the study conducted and what methods did you use?
It was what we call an archival study of administrative databases. So we took the administrative database of all of the attendances at the emergency room for mental health in Alberta, and we examined it. So we didn't actually interview anybody or see them. We just looked at the administrative databases, which are really quite good for that purpose in Alberta. That's why we used Alberta.
And you looked at a substantial number of cases. I believe it was over 30,000 visits by over 20,000 children, all
right,
under 18 years of age.
Right. So it's a lot easier when you use data that's already been collected for another purpose to collect large samples like that. That would be almost impossible to do if we had done it face-to-face with them and not used the databases.
What were the major findings of the study?
Well, the major finding was that children who were First Nations children and children who were poor as measured by receiving welfare or other government-sponsored subsidy were more likely to attend and more likely to not get care as quickly after the emergency room or emergency department visit.
Now, you have some percentages that are linked up with Aboriginal children and percentages linked up with non-Aboriginal children. What were some of the, let's say, the finer differences that existed amongst those groups?
Well, the issues are the finer issues were that in particular, in intentional self-harm, for example, was different between, especially with First Nations kids, and girls were more likely to come for anxiety. Those are the types of things that we found in that. I think we have to be a little bit careful because it's only data that was collected in Alberta, and even though it's a very large sample, it may not represent, that may represent more provincial situations, although I think it's probably pretty true across the country. And it's hard to know, is it because they're First Nations kids, or is it because they're poor, because there's a high number of First Nations kids that are poor.
Now, you mentioned intentional self-harm and anxiety as, I guess you might call them, symptoms that that cause parents to bring children into ERs. Tell us more about the whole dynamic of children accessing mental health services in emergency rooms, and what has been known up until this point in time?
Well, we know that children's mental health services are just not up to snuff in Canada, and that's actually true around most of the world. But we knew that there's oftentimes a rather chaotic system. In fact, the report of the Senate committee, it's called Out of the Shadows at Last, said that the children's mental health system wasn't really a system, and referred to it as the orphan of the orphan. The orphan, the first orphan being the children's mental health system, and of the mental health system, which is not really well-funded and well-organized. And so I think that reflects the state of our children's mental health system in Alberta and in Canada, that we just haven't organized it properly and organized it well. That's not because of a lack of effort on individual people's, individual people have made lots of efforts to do that, and there's lots of very, very good people working in the children's mental health system. It's just that as a society, we haven't devoted enough resources to it, and we haven't devoted, put our attention to making it a real system, that no child who has a mental health problem shouldn't get help as soon as they manifest those problems.
If we briefly go back to reasons for children and youth seeking help in emergency rooms or their parents bringing them there, there was also a tie-in with alcohol and drug abuse. How does that fit in with this?
Well, alcohol and drug abuse are major reasons for attendance at the mental or behavioral disorders due to substance abuse of any sort are the major reasons. 35.8% of the First Nations, 20% around of the of other children attended for that reason. So that was about a fifth of the kids coming to the emergency room for mental health problems had a tie-in with substance abuse of some sort.
This is People First Radio, only on CHOY 101.7 FM and streaming at CHOY.ca.
Emergency departments are a critical access point for mental health care for children who have been unable to receive care elsewhere or are in crisis. Care provided in an emergency department can stabilize acute problems and facilitate urgent follow-up for symptom management and family support. Now, Canadian research has found that First Nations children and children from families receiving government subsidies had more return visits to emergency departments for mental health crises than other socioeconomic groups. We're joined on the phone by Patrick McGrath, one of the researchers involved in the study.
Patrick, I want to ask you one more question about the children and youth that ended up being part of this study. I'm just reading directly here from one of the news releases. Across all socioeconomic groups, more girls and youth aged 15 to 17 years sought emergency mental health care compared with boys and other age groups. Now, you mentioned anxiety as being something that was that girls presented with, but I'm wondering if you can tell us more about how boys experience mental health crises or issues and how they may not end up in emergency.
Yeah, boys, there's not a total difference between boys and girls, but there's a slight tendency for boys to have more disruptive behavior, more fighting and disobedience and of a major sort, not the minor disobedience that all kids have. And girls are more likely to have to manifest it as anxiety. But one of the very interesting things is that if you follow boys who have what we call disruptive behavior over time, and we didn't do that in this study, but you find out that in adolescence, they may come as children and then in adolescence and then in young adulthood, they tend to have a lot of anxiety too. So although there's some, there's some differentiation, these mental health disorders are also to some extent mixed, and what we call comorbidity is very, very common. So the higher prevalence of older kids is likely because they're manifesting more serious problems. Children usually start having problems, anxiety, and the disruptive behaviors, you know, fairly early on. But then they usually, if they're going to get worse, they get worse as they get older.
The research team acknowledges in the study document, and I'm quoting from that document, to the best of our knowledge, our group is the first to report on the use of emergency mental health care among First Nations children. We currently have a poor understanding of the prevalence of mental illness among these children. Patrick, tell us more about the concept of prevalence, what we do know, what we also need to know.
Yeah, prevalence is simply how often something occurs. So the we have quite a good understanding of prevalence in the general population of mental health problems. For instance, there's probably 50 or 100 studies around the world that are really quite well done in that, but very few studies in First Nations kids. And that's partially because until very recently, there were very few researchers that were interested in working with First Nations kids. That's changing now because of the Canadian Institutes of Health Research. There's an institute specifically devoted to Aboriginal health, and they're developing a lot more Aboriginal researchers and mostly Aboriginal researchers who are interested in Aboriginal mental health. And so that's a very positive development. But we just haven't devoted the resources to developing those skills, developing those issues in populations other than the mainstream population.
The conclusion to the study starts out with the statement that visits to the emergency department for mental health care should be considered a stopgap solution in the full suite of mental health services. You touched on some of this before. Can you just give us a sense of what is meant by that?
Emergency room care for mental health problems is very important, but it's only a small piece of what should be happening. So children should have care long before they end up in the emergency room. And that would prevent many of the children from going to the emergency room. As we understand now, only about a fifth or a quarter of kids that have mental health problems actually receive care in a timely way. And so that what we have is a huge undertreatment of children's mental health problems. We believe that we have to develop a whole range of different types of interventions for these children. We can't just rely on the traditional, patient goes to the psychologist or psychiatrist in an office and has a visit. We have to really think of how can we make sure that care is available to people throughout Canada, whether they be rich or poor, and be available in a timely way, in a way that meets their needs, not in a way that fits the organizational structure.
Dr. Patrick McGrath, thank you for taking the time to join us.
Thank you very, very much.
Dr. Patrick McGrath is the Vice President of Research at the IWK Health Center, a hospital in Halifax, Nova Scotia, that provides care to women, children, and youth from Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, and Prince Edward Island. Dr. McGrath is also a professor of psychology, pediatrics, and psychiatry at Dalhousie University, and he was one of the researchers involved in the study, emergency health care use and follow-up among socio-demographic groups of children who visit emergency departments for mental health crises. It can be found at the Canadian Medical Association Journal online at cmaj.ca.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Centre Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.